This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, November 3rd. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, how political candidates in East Central Illinois look at the issue of economic development. We'll also get our weekend forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, a look at today's news. Prosecutors say a mother plotted with her boyfriend to drown her three young children, then asked to play with them before her car rolled off a boat ramp and sank in the water. 30-year-old Amanda Hamm's murder trial got underway yesterday in Decatur. Testimony takes place today. Hamm is charged with 9 counts of first-degree murder in the deaths. The children drowned in Clinton Lake in 2003. Prosecutors say Hamm confessed to planning the drownings to investigators about 3 weeks after the children died. But defense attorney Steve Skelton told jurors that Hamm was heavily medicated for depression when investigators badgered her into making those statements. Illinois' coal-fired power plant operators may have to slash mercury pollution. State regulators could require those companies to reduce emissions 90% by around 2009. Sean Ali has more.
Illinois has a love-hate relationship with coal power. It's plentiful and cheap, but the smoke releases mercury into lakes. If children eat much fish from those lakes, they risk mental retardation. Local advocacy groups like Environment Illinois say the plan should cut that risk. Environment Illinois' Max Muller.
Mercury is emitted from power plants and it's deposited locally around the plant that emitted it. And so because of that, if you don't bring down mercury pollution at every single plant, you're going to get mercury hotspots that endanger the people who live there.
The state's largest coal-fired energy producer isn't celebrating, though. Midwest Generation is making a last-ditch effort to fight the rules. I'm Sean Ali.
Some Champaign-area seniors say Congressman Tim Johnson's views of the Medicare Part D plan would force them to pay too much for drugs. Healthcare advocates yesterday reviewed replies to a survey on Part D given to the Urbana Republican and his Democratic opponent, David Gill. Questions concern the ability to negotiate drug prices, eliminating Part D's gap in coverage or donut hole, and the efficiency of prescriptions through Medicare versus private insurers. Shirley Stewart, a member of the local Medicare task force, says her doctor has given her a prescription that her provider says is unnecessary.
And I'm really concerned on how they can justify that when it comes from a doctor's prescription, and you have to fight them in order to get them to pay it. And it's not one time or two times, it's 3 and 4 times that the doctor's office has to call in and tell them, yes, it is necessary, we have tried other things and they don't work.
Gill, a doctor from Clinton, calls Part D a sham. Johnson spokesman Phil Bloomer maintains that people are saving money under Part D and that it's a huge benefit that didn't exist 2 years ago. He says it's unfortunate that Democrats are taking aim against the plan days prior to the election. Meanwhile, Johnson wants to hold a committee hearing in Champaign before year's end to address the authority of the NCAA. Johnson says at issue is legislation that protects the University of Illinois and other institutions from sanctions because of its mascots. The U of I has been banned from hosting postseason tournaments because the Chief Illiniwek symbol has been deemed hostile and abusive by the NCAA. Johnson says the Protection of University Governance Act would allow any college or university that's penalized for those reasons to sue the NCAA and seek a court order to stop the decision. The congressman says he's a supporter of the chief, but he says the proposed field hearing at the House Education and Workforce Committee is to preserve the autonomy of its member institutions from doctoral mandates. Carl Clinic says there will be slight delay before any more flu vaccines are given out. There's a change in the shipping of the vaccine this year, as required by the Centers for Disease Control and the World Health Organization. As a result, Carl's Community Flu Clinic in Urbana won't be giving any shots for about a week. Spokeswoman Jennifer Hendricks-Kaufman says the doses of vaccine are on their way from overseas but have to make an additional stop with a manufacturer.
That shipment has to come, it's manufactured, the flu vaccine is manufactured in Belgium and then has to be shipped to the United States, to GlaxoSmithKline, and then to a shipping facility. So it does take some time to get here.
More than 20,000 people have already gotten shots through Carl. The delay has also forced the postponement of a clinic in Rantoul. Manufacturers stress there's no shortage of vaccine this flu season, but simply a delay in shipping. Clinics in a few other states are reporting delays, too. It's been 10 months since the state limited how much interest lenders can charge on payday loans. The law is supposed to prevent consumers who need financial assistance from winding up in a cycle of debt. Amanda Vinicky looks into how it's working.
Linda DeLaFord of the advocacy group Citizens Action says a recently released report shows that consumers who took out payday loans under the law have saved a lot of money, $6 million in fees and interest that lenders are no longer permitted to charge. But DeLaFord says that companies are evading the law by instead offering longer-term loans, which aren't covered. Consumers are, she says,
clearly steered into loans that were the longer-term installment loans, even being told by some lenders that they no longer offered the traditional shorter-term payday loans because the state wouldn't allow them to do it.
The head of the state association representing the small loan industry says those are false and unsubstantiated charges. Steve Brubaker says lenders are following the law. He says lenders are also advocating for a new law to hold the longer-term loans to the same standard as payday ones. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Last summer, East Central Illinois lost out to Greensburg, Indiana, in a bidding war over Honda's new car assembly plant. Vermilion County came up short in its bid for the facility, leaving some to question Illinois' economic climate. The ability to change it has become a campaign issue this fall for two state Senate candidates. AM 580's Jeff Bossert looks at how each wants to lure in the next large employer and what industry experts think of those ideas.
Judy Myers says Illinois was caught off guard when Honda confirmed it was considering a site in rural Fithian. The former Republican senator, who is vying to return in the Senate's 52nd district, says her economic development plan starts with a repeal of fee hikes imposed by the Blagojevich administration.
It is a message. When a business is looking, sometimes it's to retain the business and sometimes it's to attract a new business. The overall climate of a state is what a business looks at. The 300 taxes and fees that were initiated against business in this last session are regressive.
Myers says fees aren't the only reason the state ranks 42nd in job creation. She says Illinois also lacks the team or strike force that can step in and explain economic incentives when an employer considers Illinois. Democratic opponent Mike Frericks suggests forming similar groups between Champaign and Vermilion counties, but says Myers is trying to reinvent the wheel by bringing several business interests together. He says the state should be more concerned about retaining current employers.
As you have industries leave, you have adults who have been working for several years in a certain field, where do they go? I think we need to help retrain those workers, and I think the state should invest in grants for community colleges for expansion of adult and workforce development programs.
Myers says she's also concerned with job retention, supporting a series of tax credits to help struggling manufacturers. One state trade group says it will take that and more to change Illinois' business climate.
For the last number of years, Illinois has seemed to have kind of a close for business sign out among the public, and businesses recognize that.
Mark Densler is the Illinois Manufacturing Association's vice president for government affairs. He says the cost of locating a business in Illinois and long-term debt of more than $40 billion are driving away potential employers. But Densler says legislators can change that atmosphere.
They can introduce legislation. For example, we're advocating a tax exemption for energy use in the manufacturing process. It's a time where energy costs are high currently. You know, if we could get that through, that would help manufacturers across the state of Illinois.
A spokesman for the state's economic arm disputes claims of a regressive atmosphere. Andrew Ross is with Illinois' Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity.
Danville just reported its lowest unemployment rate in 32 years. The Champaign metro area rate just reached its 7-year low this past September. So, I mean, we certainly believe that Governor Blagojevich has created a business environment that's encouraging investment and innovation.
But the executive director of Champaign County's Economic Development Corporation says a lack of state initiatives is forcing groups like hers to step in. Jeannie Gustafson says state-funded programs that provide grants and loans to expand infrastructure are no longer offered. And she says competing states are often brought into the mix slowly to boost the initial offer.
I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that have you do hundreds of hours of work just to get money from a place that they know they're going to go to, you know, to use it against another place. Do you do it? You bet you do it, because you never know. And the minute you don't do it, you're going to lose the big one.
Gustafson says it's possible, behind closed doors, that Honda was using Illinois as a bargaining chip with Indiana. But Danville's economic leader says losing the project was due to geography. Vermilion Advantage President Vicki Hogan says Honda chose Eastern Indiana because of proximity to railroads and other company facilities in Ohio. Both she and Gustafson say they have their share of success stories when it comes to luring smaller employers to Champaign and Vermilion counties. But Hogan says laws signed 20 years ago were aimed at more labor-intensive business.
The capital investments being made to sustain these new facilities is huge. And the laws and the incentive requirements have not been adjusted to reflect the importance of that investment and really penalized for not creating hundreds of jobs when that's not the world we live in.
Both economic leaders say some proposals raised by Mike Frericks and Judy Myers hold merit. But then there's the question of what a candidate can accomplish once elected. Likely very little, says University of Illinois economist Fred Gertz.
There's no way to pull a rabbit out of the hat very easily and get things going if things aren't going right. So that brings us down to what people are suggesting. And I would probably say that in many cases, it's more campaign rhetoric than anything else. A state senator from East Central Illinois is probably not going to have a very big impact on state policy.
But both Myers and Frericks say they'll give it a shot if elected Tuesday. I'm Jeff Bosser, AM 580 News.
Clouds will roll in at times over most of the two-state area sometime this weekend and starting today, but the chances of precipitation are pretty slim for most of the area. Our meteorologist Ed Kieser says for today in extreme north central and northeast Indiana, there will be a mix of clouds and sun with some scattered flurries, primarily in the morning. Elsewhere, though, mostly sunny, and highs ranging from 38 in northeast Indiana to 53 in southwest Illinois. For tonight, becoming cloudy in western Illinois, elsewhere clear to partly cloudy and cold again. The lows ranging tonight from 22 in northeast Indiana to 35 in west central Illinois. For tomorrow, in the north, mostly cloudy with scattered sprinkles. In central sections, considerable cloudiness, and in the south, partly sunny still. The highs ranging tomorrow from 44 in far northern Illinois to 58 in the far south. Sunday, we'll see a mix of clouds and sun. Some scattered showers will arrive on Monday. Sunday's high temperatures in the 50s. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, November 3rd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.